Sorry, I surprised you with that. But this is a day for us to praise and glorify God's name. More about that in a minute. I'm jumping ahead. But each year on Trinity Sunday, we come to this day and I hear preachers throughout the church worrying about what to say this day, approaching the sermon with caution. I think sometimes perhaps those who listen to these sermons wonder how we can talk about how we can comprehend one God revealed in three persons, and maybe even ask why we attempt to. Speaking of the Trinity can, for some, instill fear and worry. How can we speak of a mystery? Who can understand the ineffable, eternal, and all-powerful God revealed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? A God revealed in three persons, one God, three persons, dwelling in unity of being, co-eternal, one Godhead. What does that mean? And yet, this is the Sunday that we remember the Holy Trinity, the only Sunday in our liturgical calendar given over to a doctrine. And I wonder if it might be tempting to think about this Sunday, to think about the doctrine of the Trinity, as a dry theological exercise. The Trinity is, of course, a mystery beyond our understanding. So what can we possibly say about God? What can we know about God? How can we speak of the Trinity when all of our human language is but metaphor for what is a much greater reality beyond our knowledge? And yet here we are, on this first Sunday after Pentecost, celebrating the mystery of God revealed in the Trinity. Now, perhaps you might wonder why we would do this, why we engage in this exercise. And I think it can be helpful, perhaps, to look at the church's history as a starting place to answer that question. I think it can serve as an entry point for us as we contemplate and worship God revealed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And what is true is that the early church did not get together one day and say, hey, let's create a doctrine about the Trinity. They did not set out to write that theology about the nature of God. Rather, what happened was the early church began with their experience. They sought to understand what they had been handed, that faith that had been given them from Jesus through the apostles on to them. And so they began to wonder, what does it mean that we have been given this faith? What are we doing when we prepare people for baptism, and what should we teach them? And there was also the desire to come to a deeper knowledge of God, to understand God as God is revealed in Scripture. And they, like probably us, notice in Scripture that God is revealed in various ways. Certainly God is revealed as the creator of everything that exists. We hear that in Genesis, that account where there is a great void and then God creates everything that is and pronounces all that is made good. And then we have our first lesson today from the book of Proverbs, which explains that before anything was actually created, God created wisdom. And then wisdom is present at each stage of creation. And it is through wisdom that God is known to humanity, that life is found. Wisdom is there beside God through the act of creation. And then wisdom delights in what God creates. Wisdom rejoices, the lesson tells us, in the inhabited world, delights in the human race. And so in Scripture, God's first act is to create. And God makes everything there is and creates everything to be in relationship with God. And God creates humanity, us, in God's image and likeness, and also creates us to be in relationship with God. And God delights in us, rejoices over us, as God does everything that God creates. And then in the New Testament, God, who created wisdom, who created everything that exists, puts on human flesh in the person of Jesus. The opening of John's Gospel, that beautiful prologue, tells how the eternal Word, present at the creation, puts on humanity, dwells with us. In Jesus, humanity sees God in flesh. God, who created everything, becomes one with us, lives among us, walks with us. And then in today's Gospel, also from John, Jesus teaches that he and the Father are one. All that the Father has is his. If you have seen Jesus, you have seen the Father. And when Jesus leaves his disciples, the Holy Spirit comes upon his followers. And the Spirit is the abiding presence of God, God dwelling with God's people, filling them, guiding them, teaching them, leading them into all truth, even praying for them. It is the Holy Spirit that draws God's people close to God. And so through reading, through studying Scripture, the church came to understand that God, who is one, is known to God's people as the Father, who with the Son creates everything that is. And God is known as the Son, the one who is God among us, who becomes human, and through his death and resurrection, humanity is redeemed. The one who lifts us to the divine life. And how God is revealed as the Holy Spirit, sent by the Father and the Son to abide with God's people. So ultimately, the statement of Trinitarian doctrine expresses how we as humans experience and know God, how God is revealed to us. The full comprehension of God, of course, is beyond us. We do not fully know God revealed in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But this doctrine of the Trinity is not just a dry theological statement, but it is instead the reality in which we live. It is the life into which we are literally baptized, through baptism incorporated into the life of the Trinity. As you know, when someone is baptized, we even say those words, baptism is administered in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And that has been true from the earliest days. And so ultimately, the Trinity is really about relationship, about God creating us to be in relationship, God saving us from everything that separates us from the love of God, God dwelling within us, leading us deeper into the heart of God. God is a community of love, one God in three persons, all bound together in love and desiring to share divine love with us, to dwell with us in that dynamic, creating, loving life of the Trinity. There is a well-known icon of the Trinity that expresses this dynamic, loving relationship. You can actually see it right here. The advantage of being downstairs is you're close enough, you might actually be able to see it, unlike upstairs. This icon was created by Andrei Rublev sometime in the 15th century, and it shows three figures seated at a table. And this reflects the story of Abraham, who entertains three angelic visitors in the book of Genesis. And while it's based on that story, it actually represents the Trinity. The three persons of the Trinity sit together at a table, united in divine love, sharing a meal. And if you notice, there's an open place at that table, right in the front, closest to all of you. That is your seat. That is the seat that you, as the viewer, are invited to take at the table with the Trinity. I was delighted on Friday that the Daily Word from the Society of St. John the Evangelist expressed exactly that idea, how there is room for us within the divine life of the Trinity. The word that day was called belonging, and it encouraged us to imagine ourselves entering into the Trinity's community of love. It said this, and I quote, "Imagine God as Trinity, and then go one step further. Try imagining a fourth person. We are the fourth person in the circle, our circle of belonging and love. This is how much God loves us. This is how much we all belong. We who have been created in the very image and likeness of God, unquote. And so the doctrine of the Trinity is not so much a dry theological concept, but really an attempt to express the dynamic relationship of love that the three persons of the Trinity share. And we are created by God to say yes to God's invitation, the invitation of the Trinity, an invitation to enter into the divine life of love shared by Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Ours is an invitation to imagine ourselves seated at the table with the Trinity, that divine table of love, to claim our place in the Trinity's divine dance and circle of love. God, the Holy Trinity, invites us into the divine community of love. And we have only to say yes to this invitation. Can we fully understand the nature of God? No, we can't. Can we comprehend how we are incorporated into the love of God? Not fully. But we can understand, though maybe feebly, incompletely, that God desires to welcome us, into the community of love that's shared by the three persons of the Trinity. And the way we respond to that is by being called to worship God. We hear this in our collect today when we pray that through grace God gives us the confession of a true faith, whereby we acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity and in the power of God's divine majesty to worship the unity. We are called to joyfully receive the faith that we have been given, and then in response to worship the unity of the Trinity. We acknowledge the mystery of God while we worship God who loves us, who creates us to be in relationship with God. We worship God who loves us so much that God comes among us in the person of Jesus, suffering upon the cross, dying, and being raised the third day. We worship God who desires to abide with us in the Holy Spirit, breathing in us, leading us into all truth, binding us together as one people, and even interceding, praying for us. God, the Holy Trinity, is at once transcendent and beyond us in our comprehension, and yet as close as God who walks among us in human flesh, God who dwells within us as close as our breath. And through the waters of baptism, we are united with God, the Trinity, incorporated into the divine life, that divine love of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so this day, I hope and pray that we remain faithful in our worship of the Holy Trinity, that through our faithful devotion, we may come ever more deeply into communion with God, that we allow ourselves to be drawn deeper into the very heart of God, until we one day take our place at the heavenly banquet, at that divine table of love that the Trinity has prepared for eternity. And now to God be all worship and praise, for yours is the majesty, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen.